right, here we are, and another thing. I don't know if you heard the music, Stephanie. Just a little note here to our listeners. Right now, we need to get a new system as far as the sound and everything, because I don't think Stephanie can hear the music. But
I can't hear the music. What was
the song I'm playing is by PIL, Public Image Limited, and it's Disappointment. Are you familiar with that song?
I totally.
I just love that song. Uh-huh. It's so cool, but you know, this is totally not about politics, but I think that Johnny Rotten, or John Lydon, is such a wretched human being, but I have to say that I do enjoy like some of his music, whether it's for nostalgia's sake.
Totally.
Because when I was a teenager, I was like, I dipped my toes into the punk rock pond.
Yes, I was not too.
Like a full-on punker or anything, but I certainly enjoyed my, you know, my black attire and my skeleton earrings, which were clip-on, so I was a total poser. But I was such a poser. It's so funny. But I was afraid to get my ears pierced. This is so not punk of me. You know why I was afraid to get my ears pierced? Was when I was like, I don't know, five or six, however old I was, my mom got my ears pierced. And I wore these little loop earrings. And I was running, and I fell, and my earring got caught on the carpet, and it ripped through my ear.
Oh, good Lord, I had heaven. Like that's a good enough reason.
Yeah, I think I was like really nervous about it. So anyway, eventually now my ears are pierced. But
you really, you bit the dust if you fell and your freaking ear hit the carpet.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you poor thing.
But I just, there's something, there's always, you know, there's, I also enjoy the movie Sid and Nancy. Did you ever see that? That, and I read the book.
Did you ever read the book?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And I Don't Want to Live This Life,
right,
written by Nancy Spungen's. Yeah. Written by Nancy Spungen's mother. It was even worse. Reading the book was worse because you don't really get the sense. In the movie, you get the story of Sid and Nancy. But in the book, you really get to find out like how crazy Nancy was. Yeah. And it was very sad because she was just so. I don't know. I don't even know what the word is. She was so messed up. And
well, she had a chemical imbalance, you know, before that was like, you know, daily discussion.
Yeah.
But didn't he rip her ear off at one point?
I don't remember.
Wasn't that one of the things that happened? Like she had her ear sewn back on.
I don't remember.
That was such an insane story. That book, I stayed awake until it was done.
Yeah.
So like I, you know. And then, of course, went and watched the movie and Chloe, whatever the hell her name was.
Chloe Webb. Yeah.
Chloe Webb and Gary Oldman.
I love him.
Is that dude not a genius?
He's such a great actor. He's so, talk about charisma. He, you know, I saw him, remember when they used to interview people on like VH1 and it was just like the actor spotlight for an hour and they would interview, I can't remember what they called it, but they asked him, you know, if he were an animal, what animal would he be, or what animal, what animal is most like him? And I just remember him looking at the interview and he goes, a seal, with his little British accent. I'm like a seal. It was so funny. And you know what? He does kind of remind me of a seal, but he's great.
Did you guys see True Romance?
Yes.
His Axel or Abbott or some weird name.
I don't remember
name
his name.
Oh, he was the Rastafarian with the grill.
Yes.
Holy moly, that
he's
was
just,
good.
He's so freaking cool. Everything he's in, he's just amazing.
And he was married to Uma Thurman.
I know.
And then Isabella Rossellini.
Wow.
That he's so sexy. Even as what's the name? The Gotham. Gotham. I don't even know.
I had a crush on him when he was Dracula. Dracula.
Yes.
I used to also
Immortal Beloved.
Yes. Oh, Gary.
Oh, Gary.
Wait, because he's like an unlikely sexy guy.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that Jeremy Irons was sexy?
Oh, yeah. In that filthy, like I'm verging on coughing up a loogie sort of sexy way. Yeah. No, he's hot. Okay, you know, when I used to do the Lady Brain show, I interviewed Jeremy Irons' son, Max Irons.
Uh-huh.
And he's gorgeous.
Really?
Gorgeous.
I have to look him up.
But his father is way hotter, and his father as the twisted pope in what was the name of that? The Spanish pope who had millions of lovers. Anyway, I can't. The whatever the fuck. Anyway, great. It was only a few seasons on HBO, I watched them all. Yeah, he's hot.
Yeah, my stepmother used to have a crush on him, and I had to agree with her. It wasn't a huge crush, but I thought he was cute. Mm-hmm. There was always something about him.
How about...
But you know what? Speaking of crushes, and he's gone. He just died this week, is Sam Shepard.
Oh, I know.
But you
so
know, my crush on him was really like a crush on... He was with Jessica Lange. Uh-huh. And it was like, I loved them. I thought they were just this amazing. I had a crush on their couplehood.
Were they still together when he died?
I don't think so. I don't think they were. I could be wrong on that, but I can't imagine. I don't know if they broke up, if they had a terrible I don't know what the deal is with them. I do remember, I think, reading that they broke up, but I just loved them. They were amazing, magical.
Magical. And he's got that mind that's magical too. And then in a hot body, you know, who also, kind of falls into that same Sam Shepard-y category for me is Scott Glenn. Am I gross?
No, you're not gross. I don't have it for Scott Glenn, but I see it. It doesn't do it for me.
You know where I found him the sexiest? I found him the filthiest and oddly attractive in Urban Cowboy, which I just watched.
God, that has forever ago. I haven't seen that.
I just watched that the other night with my son.
Really? How did it hold up?
It's outstanding.
Really?
It's outstanding.
Huh.
But Scott Glenn, but I loved him in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies. Bob and I were just talking about that. It's like, we watched it together, I think once. So we have to give it a little more time because we love to rewatch movies. But, you know, you need that time to like little distance from it.
Yeah, because then you forget things and then you get to re-savor them all.
Although, I've seen Silence of the Lambs so many times, I could recite it. I love that movie. And you know what's so funny? My girlfriend and I talked about it so much. We would just crack up with, you know, talking like Buffalo Bill. And I used to be able to do it and I can't do it anymore.
You want to fuck me?
Wait, is she a big, great, great, big fat person?
See, that's what I used to be able to say. Oh, wait. And but I did, I could do the whole sentence. I can't really do it anymore.
You're about a size 14. Are you about a size 14?
But I went, I fucking love that movie. But, and so my girlfriend and I would just like endlessly make ourselves laugh with reciting lines from this movie, which it's not funny at all, but you know, you just love this movie so much and we just crack each other up. So anyway, I was visiting my father who was a Marine and, it was like 2009 and my dad was working with Marines. And so he's like, oh, we're going to go drive to my office or whatever. So, I was like, I don't even remember it, but where we were driving, like we entered the facility. I'm looking around, I'm like, this looks like the place where they filmed Silence of the Lambs. And it was like,
no
that.
Way.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And I was freaking out. And I kept texting my friend and like she's texting her and showing her pictures of where I was. And of course, quoting Silence of the Lambs. And we were laughing hysterically. And it was like, oh my God, this was like the thrill of my life. I didn't realize that the FBI training ground was at the same place where we had the Marine.
It was Quantico.
There you go. Quantico. Yes. It was the Marine Museum.
Quantico.
And they have like the museum. So, they have this thing set up where you can shoot a gun. Like, I guess the same kind of gun my father shot in Vietnam. And I still have, at least on Facebook, I have my target practice little thing. And I'm pretty good. I'm pretty badass.
With a handgun or with like
it was like a big gun. I don't really know guns. So it was some kind of gun that they had that they used to fight. And it was long. Well, it was a long gun.
I shot a rifle one time and it kicked into my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I like this. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. As long as there's sensible gun laws.
Right.
But you know, Obama wants to take your goddamn gun away. He still does.
Yeah, you know what? That's like the least of my fucking concerns right now. Isn't that terrible to say? Like, that's what this world has come to.
No, I know. I know. It's just so freaking scary. Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
We forgot about politics for 15 seconds and started talking about, you know, weird, odd, smoking English actors that we find sexy. You know who I love?
Huh.
Have you seen, I don't know if you're a Wes Anderson fan.
Yes.
But have you guys watched the...
Bob loves Wes Anderson.
Budapest Hotel?
That's more his...
What Ralph Fiennes, are you going to say?
Yes.
Ralph Fiennes, really.
I mean, everybody wanted to do Ralph Fiennes.
I never did.
Men and women alike.
I never did.
The English Patient. Oh. You never did?
No, but wait, what? Do your impression of him.
Bob. Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Please.
Jesus. No. My impression of Ralph Fiennes is Nazi Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Okay, do it. Bring it.
Tell me something, mother. Are you a Jew?
That's like more like Kurt Vonnegut or something. That's Ralph Fiennes. This is generic Nazi voice.
You did it, dude.
Tell me something, mother.
No, I never had a crush on him. You know, like, I never had a crush on him. And I never had a crush on Jude Law. Like, everybody talked about Jude Law like he was the second coming. And it was like, well, the only time I ever had a crush on Jude Law, and it was only for the movie, was Cold Mountain.
You didn't have a crush on him in The Talented Mr. Ripley?
No. He does nothing for me. Yeah. I mean, I like him, but I just, like, you know, I think the crush comes into, you know, like, could he convince me? No. He can't convince me.
Yeah, well, he convinced me really well in that love scene in Cold Mountain.
I love Cold Mountain. I love that movie, even though her hair is ridiculous. It's like, how blonde can... Nobody's hair is that color blonde. That is like such a freaking out-of-the-bottle color, hair color.
Kidman?
Yeah.
I don't recall. I'll just know now. I love Kidman, but what's she doing with the plastic surgery?
Well, she's actually gotten better. I've seen her recently, and it looks like she's chilling on the
on the lip fillers.
Yeah, on the fillers and stuff. I think she's calmed down. I know. You know who else has calmed down is what's her name from Friends? Courtney Cox. I guess she's decided not to do anything anymore because her statement, it was something along the lines of, "You look okay in person, but on camera, you look." Freakish.
Terrifying.
I just a brief correction. I said Kurt Vonnegut. I meant Kurt Waldheim. Never
Kurt
mind.
Kurt Waldheim.
Yeah.
Okay. Never yeah, no, mind. I see that. I didn't get the Kurt Vonnegut reference, but I just glossed right over it.
You were too busy thinking about Jeremy Irons.
Oh. He's a little too decrepit now, but he was hot in his time. What did he win? He won the Oscar for Something of Fortune. What was it called?
Reversal of Fortune.
Yeah, that
was a good movie.
Was outstanding.
You know, I'm going to look it up. There was another movie that he was in, and I'm looking at
the Lolita movie.
Oh, that was a good one too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's not the one I'm talking about. It was the movie was about. Let's see. It was about like he was having an affair with his son's fiance.
Oh, and that was Binoche.
Yes, Juliette Binoche.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What the hell was that?
I'm looking it up right
God,
now.
God, do we have memories at all?
No,
anymore?
Clearly we don't. We're so old.
Yeah, all right.
It was in the 80s, though, so I'm looking it
Someone
up.
Someone thought I was 38 the other day. Legit.
Really? Well, I swear to God, I always thought you were in your 30s.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Have you ever? Okay, I'm not even gonna. I'm not going to take myself down. Thank you. You don't look your age either. You look to be in your 30s as well, my dear.
Well, I'll take it. I just wish, you know, as I'm looking for this movie, I just wish that I could beat the middle-aged weight that just won't leave.
Yeah, you know what? I've put back like 5 pounds recently over maybe the last 3 months. It's just crept back on and I'll drop 2 and then I'll, you know, sit down and fill a coffee cup with ice cream and watch Lawrence O'Donnell. And, you know, I like my life. I like the food that's in my life. And I don't know how to get myself back down to that, like that wedding day weight. You know what I mean?
Well, the problem with me is that it's not even, I've been cutting everything out. It's called Damage. The movie is called Damage.
Yes.
That's a sad movie, but it's really good. But back to the weight thing, it's like, you know, I remember my mom and I were both on Days of Our Lives at the same time. She played a maid. And I guess, you know, all of a sudden it crept on. She changed nothing. She ate the same. She worked out the same and gained 20 pounds. And then she had to ask the wardrobe for a bigger dress. And she said she was so humiliated. And it wasn't because she was eating anything extra. It just, it's that fucking middle-aged shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's happened to me. And there's like, I'm trying right now. I'm trying. So I've cut out for the most part any snacking that I would do at night. And I'm really, really, you know, I'm trying to change up my workout. And it's so frustrating because nothing, I see no results. And it's like, you know, when I was younger, if I wanted to lose weight, I knew how to lose weight. And I lost it. And if I wanted to lose 10 pounds, it would take me about a month if I really hunkered down and I got serious. Well, I'm getting serious and I'm hunkering down and I'm seeing absolutely no fucking results. And it makes me so angry, you know,
but I know exactly how to do it. I just don't want to do it.
Well, I know how to do it, but my body's going, screw you. I mean, I think part of it is we've talked before. I'm on bioidentical hormones, and I don't know if this is the case, but I'm guessing because like when I was on birth control when I was younger, there was about 10 to 15 pounds that it didn't matter what I did. I just couldn't lose it. I could only lose it when I went off the pill. And so, and maybe it's the additional estrogen. So I'm taking additional estrogen now, and maybe that is helping, you know, or keep making it that my body holds on to this additional fat. And I mean, it's not that I'm a fat person. I was a size 10 pretty much in high school up until now. And now I'm a size 12. So I'm one size bigger, and I'm 6 feet tall. So it's not like, you know, it's not that I'm this huge person, but I'm not comfortable with myself. I don't like this. You know?
I know.
I'm trying really, really hard.
I know it. I know. And I've got this really cute pair of they're leather. They're like they're denim on top and then like right below the butt cheeks and in the front, same spot, all leather. They're my favorite pants. They're very special pants and I can wear them. But it looks like someone like dropped me from the second story into them and my love handles didn't make their way into the pant part.
Those fucking love handles.
That's kind of how I have to get into them. Oh my God.
Oh, well. Well, we're
so. Yeah, oh, well. You know what? No, who cares? I'm going to eat some good food today.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
me too.
Eat, you know, some healthy
Saturday's
shit.
My day off.
Oh, well.
You know, I remember my grandmother saying, one time I asked my grandmother, who's supposed to always tell you look too skinny and you need to eat, right? That's what grandmothers are for. So I asked my grandmother when I was like, I don't know, 20, if I looked fat. And then she said to me, well, you shouldn't gain any more weight. I'm like, hello. And then I asked her about my legs and I can't remember. I said, do my legs look fat or something like that? And she said, they look sturdy. I was like, God,
Grammy.
Can I just kill
Grandma.
Myself now? But you know, she reminded me that I should be grateful that I have legs. And she's right. You know, it's like we get so wrapped up and you know, it's like, oh, my God, I'm a size 12 when I really want to be a size 10. And it really gets to me. But then I really think about how stupid that is. You know, it's
it
like
is.
There's
it
so
is.
Many. I should be happy that I'm healthy and that,
yes.
I'm, you know, and that I have a good life and that I'm happy, you know, that so many good things are happening in my life.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Bob was going to say something, but then he pushed the microphone away.
Because he knows we're on a goddamn roll. You know what?
Yeah, loosen out of size 14.
Oh my God. You know what? I was kind of down on myself just for like packing the extra 5 on. It's so stupid. This is such a dumb thing to even say.
I know.
And then I get up 2 mornings a week at 4:45.
Oh my God.
And I am at the gym.
Look
I make myself a little coffee. And then I go to the gym and I work out really, really hard for an hour.
Yeah.
Really hard. And I don't care. I walked in there on Thursday morning with a pair of like workout pants and I thought, I shouldn't have worn these because
mm-hmm.
they were feeling a little snug.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I didn't care. I left there feeling like the biggest stud because I accomplished unbelievable things in that gym.
Yeah.
Like stuff that I never did in my 40s. I'm deadlifting weight with a
wow.
hex bar. That's like, I mean, for me, huge pounds. They did a competition in the gym. They did male and female athletes of the year. top 10. And there's this woman who I just, you know, I used to work out with her once a week, and I'd look at her in the gym, and she's just statuesque. She's probably close to 6 feet tall. The body is holy mackerel. Three kids, my exact age, and just a stud. Hmm. And she was first, and I was second.
Wow.
And so I don't care if I've got muffin tops.
Yeah.
I can, like your grandma said, you should be happy you have legs. I'm so happy that I can go in there and go on a Versa climber and then get on the rower and then pick up the, you know, 200 pounds on a hex bar and be like, yeah, you're damn right I did that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've always had an issue with my body image, always, you know, whether it started basically when I was 13 and I was 5'8". And in eighth grade, and I weighed 170 pounds. The year before, I lived in Russia with my dad. I was 12, and my dad and stepmom, and I, you know, just pigged out. I pigged out while I was in Russia, and I really, I mean, I was kind of chunky. And, you know, I got off the airplane, and my mom saw me, and she was like, wow. And she didn't say anything to me, but she thought, wow, she's pretty chunky. And then that summer, I stayed home. You know, I went back to live with my mom, who had moved from where we lived before, so I knew nobody. And I came back home early, so I was, you know, I think in like July. I had no friends, I had nothing to do, so all I did all day long was eat. And I used to joke that I would have like strawberry quick, you know, and like dripping into my veins. And I would drink strawberry quick like people drink water. And I would make milkshakes with cookies in them. And I was just like, eat all day long. And then I gained more weight. And then I started eighth grade. And I remember it was like one day it just hit me. I was looking at the girls in my grade and they were all so little and thin. And I was huge. I was just this huge person. And so I went on a diet. And that's when it began. And I was 13 years old, freshly 13 years old, and I became obsessed. And literally that year, I went from 5'8 to 170 to 5'10 and a half to 125. So I was like really skinny, although I never saw it. And I was never thin enough. It was never good enough. And then I basically stopped dieting and just started eating normal again. And then, you know, eventually I went back to dieting, and then I became an actress. You know, mm-hmm. and there was this one actress who I won't say her name, but I fucking hate her. And she...
You're going to text it to me immediately, I hope.
I will. I'll just say this. She was on The West Wing. And she got on The West Wing basically because of me. But that's a whole nother story. Anyway, she told me that I would never be considered sexy unless I lost 20 pounds. And at the time... I was pretty, you know, slender. I've never been skinny, but I was slender.
And please don't tell me it's Allison Janney.
No, it's not. Okay. And she's not a big star. She's not a big star. She was just one of the smaller roles on that show. Uh-huh. But she also told me that, because at the time she told me, what's her name? Brooke Shields was in Suddenly Susan. And mm-hmm. Brooke Shields and I had a very similar build. And she told me that Brooke was at least 20 pounds thinner than me. And clearly she wasn't. I knew what I looked like on television because I was on Days of Our Lives. So I knew what I looked like and I knew what Brooke Shields looked like. And we were about the same. And so she insisted to me that Brooke Shields was thinner. And, you know, here I was young and impressionable and I wanted to succeed. And when she said that to me, I remember it just like everything switched and I started starving myself and engaging in, you know, dangerous behavior because I wasn't eating enough food. And I think I would eat like 800 calories a day and I would work out really, really hard. For years I did this and, you know, and it's like that it just makes me, and you know, I don't blame her. I'm the one who was susceptible to this. I was the one who was vulnerable to this comment. But still, it's like, you know, it's never... And she was such a horrid person. I could not stand this person. And for so many reasons that, again, I'm not really going to go into because I don't want to smear somebody who can't defend themselves. But, she was a fucking bitch. And, you know, she said that to me. And she just hit me at the most vulnerable place. And And you know, ever since I was 13 years old, I've battled. And, you know, and then when I decided to become an actress, which, well, prior to just about like 2 years before I decided to become an actress, I started breaking out and I got adult acne. So I was battling acne. I was never going to be the ideal, the Hollywood ideal body ever. No matter what I do, I'll never be the Hollywood, you know, their idea of what is really perfection. I have a wide frame. I have big bones. So, you know, it's like I can't, like, there's a whole bunch of women out there who are really tall, but they have very narrow frames and small bones. So when they get thin, they look different. They don't look sickly like I would look sickly, you know, and I did. There was one time when I got really, really sick. And so I lost a lot of weight and I was really thin for me. And I went into my acting class and like two or three guys took me aside and they were really worried about me. And I thought that was really sweet that they cared so much, but they were like privately like, Kimberly,
you have a sandwich.
Yeah. Eat. And I laughed and I just thought, well, I was sick. Don't worry. The weight will come back. And it did. But, you know, I don't know. We were supposed to talk about politics and we got way off.
I'm glad we took a break.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to take a break.
But can I just ask you something before we say goodbye? What if Al Gore ran for president in 2020?
Well, it's funny you ask that because last year, Bob, I don't know, did you write an article or did you just throw it online?
Yeah, no, I wrote it for Salon. I wrote a Salon article pushing for Al Gore to run in 2016.
And what was the response?
This was after. The response was, what are you talking about? stupid. Everyone, you know.
Why?
Because I'm trying to think exactly what it was. Obviously, Al Gore committed some heinous trespass against the far left because that's mostly, I guess it was Bernie people who didn't want him.
Probably.
Because he would have stolen all of Bernie's thunder as being sort of the alternative candidate. But at the same time, that's when Joe Biden was considering running. I'm like, screw that. Al Gore, if we're going to get an old schooler, why not get Al Gore?
Yeah, I like Al Gore.
I mean, he's come so far since the 2000 election. I mean, he really found his voice during the Bush administration with an Inconvenient Truth, and now he's got this new movie out. And he's got the best fucking hair in politics.
And a giant schlong.
Oh, really? How do you know this?
Bob knows what I'm talking about. He was on the cover of Rolling Stone when he was running for president.
Uh-huh.
And my mother was like, dude, have you seen the cover of Rolling Stone?
What they show his dick on the cover of Rolling Stone? What?
I'm looking.
This is something. Yeah, Google it. I'm just going to let you Google it. And I'm going to let you show
it
to Bob.
It's like a John Hamm picture, right? Like the pictures of John Hamm's dick.
Hamaconda. Yeah, it's real.
Okay, I'm looking for it right now. Images.
Anyway.
Come on.
But I don't care. I don't care. Obviously, I don't care about the schlong. But
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I see it.
He's standing there. He's got a pair of khakis on. Yes. And it looks like there's an infant in his pants. That's gross.
An infant. He's got a third leg.
I don't know.
It's a giant bulge.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Yeah.
That's
sort of like a John Hamm pick, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do I think of him? I love him. I think he's great. And again, I think, you know, it's only going to get fucking worse with these crazy alt-left people, and how many of them are real and how many of them are Russian bots, we'll never know for sure. I'm just going, you know, it's going to be really difficult for me because I'm just fucking blocking these people. And, you know, and the thing is that what I don't know, you know, like, for instance, the other day I made a post on Facebook and I said, I'm, you know, I'm not putting up with this shit. I'm just not going to do it. So some guy comes on and he's been my Facebook friend for a little while. I don't know. Maybe he started following me or, you know, he friended me while I was supporting Bernie. And I don't know why he's not familiar with my current stance, but I made some comment about Julian Assange. And he was like, well, and he had to come back with his, it's that typical condescending fucking attitude you get from these people. And he's like, well, I think that he's pretty fair and balanced. And it's like, And so I had a few back and forths with him, and then I just blocked him. And he wasn't even a jerk to me. He was condescending, and I just thought, you know what? Whether you're a real guy or you're a troll, I don't fucking care. I'm done with you. Bye. Yes,
that's
you know,
your prerogative.
You're not
I
going to spread
that.
Your goddamn propaganda on the page that I have spent years building up. No, not going to work.
Good.
So, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard because I actually agree with the platform that these far left people have, with the exception of taking, you know, the anti-choice thing. But, you know, I'm all for raising the minimum wage. I'm all for single payer. I'm all for, let's move in that direction. Let's just keep going.
I'm all for free or affordable college.
Yeah,
I'm all
of
for
that.
All that shit.
I have no problem with the platform. It's just that, you know, it's these bros that have taken over, and the Jill Stein crowd, they're all fucking lunatics. They're just as bad as the right, because they are hurting the only the only chance at progress we actually have. They're hurting it. They like to think that they're so progressive and they're so pure, but they're the ones who are
ruining it for us.
Yeah, they're ruining it.
Yep, they are.
Anyway, I guess we should end on that, bitching about the Bernie bros.
Okay, but let's – so just because we got sidetracked with Al Gore's ding dong, I think he'd be great in 2020.
Oh, I would
and
love
he's
it.
Got, and he's got the momentum, and like Bob said, he found his voice. I mean, he is secure in who he is, and I don't – aside from healthcare and people, you know, and income equality and all that jazz, I believe Al Gore – is a champion for saving the earth.
Yeah.
And that
yes.
is huge. And that, you know, going back to the first segment that we did, that's true leadership. And that's the kind of stuff that would put us back into that position of here's how we can affect change. And we've got somebody who actually knows how to do it in Al Gore. You know, let's work together with these other strong leaders. And
well, my dad actually, you know, had experience with him personally because my father worked for ABC News and I believe he was on the Clinton campaign. And so, you know, he's known Al Gore. I mean, not like they're friends, but he's known him. My dad was a cameraman. Mm-hmm. So he had opportunity to, you know, hang out with him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, during the campaign in 2000, clearly, Al Gore did not know how to speak like a human being in front of the camera. He was like a wooden cardboard cutout,
and
it was
so heinous.
Yeah, it was awful. But my father at the time was saying it's just such a shame because he's really colorful and funny and warm, and it just mm-hmm. doesn't come across. Well, clearly we've crossed that line, and now he knows how to be funny and to be warm. And, you know, I think the thing is, I think the 2020 candidate, whether they've revealed themselves or not yet, I mean, we don't know who they're going to be. It could be somebody right in front of our face. Like maybe it is Kamala Harris.
Maybe
it's Al Gore. Who the hell knows who it's going to be, but whoever it is going to have to, fully understand who they're dealing with. Like the Bernie bros, they're going to have to find a way to not bend to them, but to get the Bernie bros to listen. And also they're going to have to appeal to all these people who've never voted before. And it's a big task. It's a really big task because I am certainly not of the mind that we can just point at Republicans and say, they're so bad. That doesn't work. That's not enough. We have to sell our platform. We have a great fucking platform. We have a great history. We have all kinds of accomplishments. It's very clear that in Democratic administrations, the economy does better. We have to sell all of that. We have to sell them our healthcare. Clearly, that's been something that finally people get. But it wasn't because, you know, I mean, as much as I love Obama, he didn't sell Obamacare, and neither did the Democrats. They were afraid to get behind it in the 2014 midterms. And that's to their own detriment because they were creamed in 2014. So the Democrats just, you know, whoever is the candidate needs to really understand the audience and appeal to, you know, those far, you know, as many far left as they can, mm-hmm. and, but most importantly, to the people who didn't vote before, make them understand why Democrats are better.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I don't know. I think Al Gore is great, and you're absolutely right. His, you know, the fact that he understands how we can save the planet, that's so mm-hmm. important. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. First, we got to get to the 2018 midterms.
I know.
Oh, well, all right. Well,
we're going to kill it.
Yes.
We're going to have to kill it, no matter if Trump is in there or not. Right. And you know what I think we should make a goal of ours? Let's talk to Amy McGrath and Randy Bryce. Let's think big. Let's see if we can get them.
Well, hey, you man, know what?
We got a direct line to Deep Claude. You know? Well,
we've got the direct line to him. And then Randy Bryce followed me on Twitter because I was lucky enough to get one of those verification checks. So I might be able to convince him now. I don't know. Maybe I can get, I mean, our show is small. We're certainly not MSNBC, but you know, you never know. We can try. Maybe I'll try to, you know, float my blue check, see if I can get him to do it. All right. Well, it's been fun.
On Ted Lieu.
And Ted Lieu. I know. I love that.
Freaking amazing shit. All right.
All right.
Okay,
well,
honey.
It was fun talking to you as usual. See you next time.
All right.